Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, starting at verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go in the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered to him and said, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again, asking Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he said this to him, he went out again to the Jews and said to him, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put a purple robe. And then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard them saying this, he was more afraid and went out again to the Praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and or power to release you?" Jesus said, "You could have no power against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king is against Caesar." Then Pilate therefore heard them saying, and he brought Jesus out and sat in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away.
Have you ever done something you regretted to gain the approval of people? I have. I remember one time when I was in year 9, I was about 14 years old. I was in science class and I did something really silly. During this time in my life, you know, I was looking for approval from people. And in science class, we were dissecting lamb's hearts. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but we were all given a lamb's heart each and we were dissecting it. We're all pretty grossed out by it, if I'm honest. And a few of my friends dared me to do something silly, you know. And I was seeking approval from my friends and they said, Brett, I dare you to eat some of that lamb's heart. That's right. And you know what? That's not a smart thing to do. And they said, well, this particular friend said, I'll give you $2, $2 Australian dollars, if you eat this lamb's heart. And I was like, you know what? No, that's not a good. But then more friends started pledging more money. I'll give you $5. I'll give you $10 if you eat this bit of lamb's heart. The price went up and up. I think it got to around $20. And for a 14-year-old, $20 is not a bad deal. And plus, I would get all the accolades from my friends. I would have all this acceptance, which is what I really wanted, right? And you know what? I did it. I didn't immediately say no. But because I didn't immediately say no, that pressure from the people mounted. The price went up. People's interest in me got more and more. And before you know it, I did it. And it wasn't an enjoyable experience. It really wasn't. And you know what happened? I got sent home because the principal sent me home and said, you need to go and see a doctor. And then I went and saw my family, and I still remember the look on my mother's face. She was like, "What? You did what?" And the funny thing was, I expected people to be impressed with me, but they were shocked and disgusted. Not impressed. And by the way, I never ever got paid the money. Lesson learned in life. You know, I wish that that striving to be accepted, that striving to please people, I wish that stopped in high school, but the sad thing is, it goes on. It's not reserved for teenagers looking to fit in. It's a challenge that every person has to face. Every believer has to face. And as Christians, we're called not to be pleasers of man, but to be pleasers of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for your spirit. God, we pray right now, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord. You would speak to us through your word. And by your spirit, you would speak and you would bring revelation to us, God. God, teach us how to be pleasers of God and not pleasers of man. And God, as we open your scripture, we pray that you would bring truth to us, Lord, and that it would set us free. It's in your name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at the story of Pontius Pilate today. You would have already heard the scripture being read. And Pontius Pilate eventually gave in and sent Jesus to the cross to be crucified. There's a lot we can learn from this story because this is a process that Pilate goes through. And oftentimes we don't immediately make a silly decision like I did. There's often a process to these things. That kind of pressure that amounts on us, usually it comes gradually. You don't immediately decide to cheat on your exam. You don't immediately decide to do something sinful when you're being pressured by people. These things mount up for a while and then we make a silly decision. And by looking at Pilate's story, we can see the pattern that he had. And by looking at that pattern and those decisions and those actions, we can help and look at our own lives. see any, we can see any issues in our own lives where we're seeking to please people, and we can see decisions that we need to make in our own lives. And we can look at what Pilate did, the decisions he should have made, and we can make those decisions. So let's look at this process. The first thing that happened in this process is that Pilate accepted a flimsy accusation. Let's just look again at chapter 18, verse 29 to 30. It says, Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." What an ambiguous answer. They didn't directly answer the question, did they? From the beginning, their claim seems to be unsubstantiated. There's so much ambiguity. This should have already been a red flag for Pilate. All he really had to do was demand a proper answer from them. But because of the pressure from the people, the pressure to please them, he didn't ask for that answer. He didn't ask for that. If you're being pressured to do something and you have every right to ask for a proper explanation for why you should do it. Let's say I'm at work and I'm being pressured by my boss to like illegally withhold some information or do some kind of shady business deal. You have every right to ask why. The repercussions will fall on you and not them, right? Maybe it's not illegal, maybe it's not shady, maybe it's just unclear. But you have every right to know the details before you go and do something like that. Pilate's inability to make this accusation clear was the first step to his failure. The second part was it's clear here that the Pharisees wanted Pilate to do something that they weren't willing to do themselves. Like me, all of my friends saying, "Brett, eat this piece of lamb's heart." They weren't willing to do that themselves. They just wanted a sideshow, right? And this is the same here with Pilate. We see here in chapter 18, verse 31, Pilate says to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." And therefore the Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." So that's fine. But then later on in chapter 19 and verse 7, they say, the Jews said to them, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." So which is it, right? Is it earlier on they say, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. It's not lawful." But then later on they're saying, "According to our law, he should die." So which one is it? This is even more ambiguous. They just don't want to do it themselves, right? They want somebody else to have the blood on their hands. And this has got to be another red flag for Pilate. He needs to start asking questions. But he doesn't. He lets the pressure of the people come on him. You know, they may have been able to, you know, religiously debate their way around this, but he should have kept questioning, and he didn't. When people start asking you to do things that they're not prepared to do themselves, it's time to ask questions. You know, like I said, like if my boss is asking me to do some kind of thing that he's not willing to do himself, then I've got to start asking questions, right? If someone won't do publicly what they're asking me to do, then it's time to ask questions. Even at this early stage, there should have been some pretty clear indicators that Jesus was innocent. But because of the pressure of the people, Pilate stopped questioning the Pharisees, even though things were not clear. So what does he do? Instead of questioning the Pharisees, he starts questioning Jesus. And unknowingly or unconsciously, he picks sides of the Pharisees. You know, he doesn't even finish questioning them properly. He starts questioning Jesus. We see it here in chapter 18, 37 to 38. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered and said, "You rightly say that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" And he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." He finds no fault. At this point, Pilate probably still doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't believe that what he's saying is true, but he certainly knows that Jesus has done nothing wrong. And he certainly knows that the accusations that the Pharisees are bringing are not substantiated. In this scripture, we see after the finishing question of Jesus, he is certain of Jesus' innocence. "I find no fault in him at all." Whether consciously or unconsciously, Pilate overlooks this ambiguity, and he continues to question Jesus. And after his questioning, he finds no fault, but then he does not return to question the Pharisees. He's picked sides. He's picked sides. You know, in a real world, I could be like at a business function and a colleague brings out the baijiu, you know, starts pressuring you to drink in excess. The situation, I could unconsciously start picking sides. I could start rationalizing, questioning the truth, making allowances for what I'd already decided in my heart to do. What does that look like? I could start making excuses like, "If I don't do this, my job could be at stake. Besides, this is part of my culture." Or it would be disrespectful for me to refuse. And then anyways, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong to drink. And these can sound like rational thoughts. But before you know it, you're questioning the truth and you've picked sides. Side note, the Bible does say that drunkenness is bad. Not drinking is bad. I did a short study and I was able to find quite easily over 10 times where the Bible was talking about drunkenness and it being bad. So it's easy. We can make these decisions and easily pick sides in our own mind. This is what Pilate had already done. He'd already chosen sides. The next thing that happened is he began to justify his decision by trying to change the outcome. We see this. Pilate thinks he's found a loophole. He thinks he's found a way. You know what? I can agree with these guys, keep them happy, but also just not feel bad because I can let Jesus go. So I agree with what's wrong. I agree with the lie. But I actually find a way that I can find a loophole so this guy can still go free. We see again in chapter 18, 39 to 40. He reminds them about a custom that they have over Passover. He says, "Oh, but you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" And they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Barabbas was a robber. Now, it also says in another gospel account that Barabbas was actually a murderer and a robber. So just a little side note here also, that Pilate, if he was not already questioning things at this point, he should definitely be questioning things now, because he thinks he's found this great loophole, and he says to these guys, look, I found this loophole, and they prefer to have a murderer and a robber released than Jesus, this guy. Surely the alarm bells should start ringing at this point. But they don't. Pilate thinks he's found this great loophole. Maybe he can agree with the Pharisees and also save Jesus from being put to death. And everybody wins, right? Not right. The problem is he's agreeing with something that is wrong to please the people. And he's trying to remove or adjust the repercussions to justify himself. Can you ever really remove the repercussions? And even if you could, does that really justify it? Or is it no longer sinful? Or is it really just selfish? If we're pressured to do something that's wrong, but we try and change the effect that it has, does that make it okay? No, it doesn't. And in this case, it makes it selfish. You could say that Pilate is helping Jesus at this point. But let's be honest, isn't this a huge attempt for him to just remove his own guilt? Who is Jesus? He doesn't even know Jesus at this point. Jesus is some guy that's claiming to be a king. He doesn't know Jesus intimately. All he's trying to do is remove his own guilt. He's not trying to save Jesus. It's a very, very selfish move. And if we submit to people pressure, do the wrong thing, and then we look to change repercussions, look to change the outcome in some way to justify it, it just doesn't work. It's not right. It's sinful. If I say something hurtful about a friend because I'm in a certain group of people, if I say that, is it no longer wrong if I just make sure that that person never hears about that comment? No, it's wrong. It's totally wrong. In fact, like I said before, it's selfish. I'm trying to stop my heart from being hurt. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, it says this: therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. If you know what is right and you don't do it, it's sin. It's sinful. End of story. No matter how much you try to dress it up, no matter how much you try to protect people, it's sin. It's the wrong thing to do. So Pontius Pilate, he's trying to find this loophole. The loophole is a no-go because they're still pressuring him. We still want to crucify. We want Barabbas. We want to crucify Jesus. So he's like, what do I do now? What can I do now? So he starts making concessions. The people are still not happy, so he thinks, maybe if I give them a little bit of what they want, maybe if I just give them a little bit, that'll be enough to appease them. And then I won't feel so bad because I haven't fully sent Jesus away. And I'm talking now of the scourging and the punishing. You see, Pilate thought, maybe if I just get him punished and beaten, that will satisfy the people. In chapter 19, 1-4, we see this. Pilate took Jesus and he scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing out to you that you may know that I have found no fault in him." He's still holding on to that phrase. "I found no fault in him." He's still reminding them in an effort to kind of like detach himself from the situation. But you know what? You can't just make concessions with sin. You can't just do a little bit and expect there not to be any repercussions. Again, with the boss situation. You know, if my boss asked me to do something dishonest, and I could just maybe start thinking, you know what, if I do it this once, if I just do it once, maybe they'll never ask me again. You know, maybe I'm a student and my friends are like cheating on an exam. Maybe if I just do it once, they're not going to ask me to do that again. We make these concessions. And here we can see Pilate making a concession, thinking, you know what? I'll just beat him a bit. Hopefully that'll be enough for the people. And you know, of course it wasn't. The issue here is that just a little bit of sin is still sin. It's still sin. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 and 7, we see a letter from Paul to the church at Corinth, and he's reprimanding them because of the sin that's come into the church. And he uses this strange baking analogy to explain that a little bit of sin makes everything sinful. He says in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 7, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened." You know, it just takes a little bit of that leaven, a little bit of yeast, and the whole loaf is affected by that. And sin is the same. It's just a little bit of sin. It infects everything. You know, I used to, had somebody say to me one time, if I had a massive bowl of ice cream and somebody were to spit in that ice cream and mix it in, and they're saying, you know what, you can't see it anymore. You can't see the sin. And it's only a little bit. Would you eat the ice cream? No, you wouldn't, of course. Why? Because it's tainted. Sin taints it. Even if it's just a little bit. And and here we have Pilate just trying to just do enough just to appease the people. Sin is sin. It's already begun. You can't just partially partake in something to appease people and then expect it to be no longer wrong. There are no concessions with right and wrong. So we see Pilate here. He's accepted a flimsy accusation. He's looked for loopholes. He's tried to have concessions now, and now he's ensnared. Pilate speaks to Jesus, and he finally realizes that not only is this man free of guilt, but he might actually be who he said he is. Maybe he is the Son of God. We see in chapter 19, verses 7 to 12, it says, "The Jews answered him, 'We have a law according to our law that he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God.' So then Pilate goes and talks to Jesus and he says, 'Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid.'" See, he's starting to understand. "And when he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greatest sin." And then he realizes. From that point on, Pilate sought to release him. Pilate realizes, "Man, I've made a mistake." And when Pilate heard Jesus' first claim about being the Son of God, he was nervous. But after speaking with Jesus the second time, he was even more nervous. For this time, Pilate seeks to release Jesus. He's already committed. He's trapped. He's been beaten. Jesus has been beaten and mocked, and the people are still screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." He had so many chances to make the right decision. At the start, he could have made the right decision. All the way through, little by little, he slowly committed more and more and more to the people. He started by accepting their flimsy claim. He should have just refused it, but he accepted all the ambiguity, all of the unsubstantiated claims about Jesus. He just accepted all of that. And then he decided to question Jesus rather than continuing to question these guys. He decided to question Jesus, and he commits a little bit more. And then he actually agrees with these guys but tries to find some kind of loophole so that he can like agree with them but adjust the outcome. And he commits a little bit more. And then he actually partially does what they want in order to have some kind of concession where he can barter. But you know what? He commits a little bit more. Now he realizes the truth. And he tries to release Jesus, but he's trapped. And now they start throwing political power on him as well, and he's stuck. You know, Proverbs 29:25 says this: "The fear of man brings a snare, and whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Giving in to the fear of man will ensnare you. It will grip you. It will hold you. But trusting in the Lord and doing what is right, this is the safest place. It doesn't seem like the safest place, but the safest place is for us to trust in the Lord and do what is right. Pilate was in the very presence of Jesus, but he didn't encounter the safety of Jesus. Because he was ensnared, and he served the pressure of the people over the truth of God. Can you imagine that? He was in the very presence of Jesus, but he chose to serve the people above the Savior. Whoa. When we trust in the Lord and serve Him, when we're pressured by people, but we trust in the Lord and we serve Him, we are safe. We're eternally safe. Don't get trapped in pleasing people. It's a trap. It's a snare. You ever seen one of those snares out in the bush where you can't see it? It looks fine until all of a sudden it's very sudden, whoosh, and you're caught, right? All of a sudden, I'm sure Pilate did not know what was going to happen until it was too late, until he'd already found out this is Jesus. Oh my gosh, this guy could be the Son of God, and it's too late. I'm already committed. I'm ensnared by this thing. Don't get trapped. It will hinder you. It will stop you from serving God. Galatians 1 and verse 10, we see the Apostle Paul again. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You know what? You can't have both. You need one or the other. You either serve men or you serve God. It's one or the other. You're either fearing men and what they think about you, or you're fearing God. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be pleasing to people ever, but we never seek to be pleasing to people. We seek God. We seek His ways first. We seek His ways every time. Don't be ensnared by the need to please people. Make the decisions Pilate wasn't willing to make. If you need to make a decision, a difficult decision, do it today. Trust in the Lord. Amen.